So I have a friend who used to dedicate one Sunday every month to serving those in need in our city. So after church, the time and the money and the relationship capital that they would normally spend on themselves or on their friends, they actually spent putting together care packages and handing them out to local tent communities in our neighborhood. And this person didn't blast this all over social like people do nowadays for clout. He didn't brag about it to everyone and announce, hey, this is what I'm doing. He just did it quietly and faithfully. Why? He did it because he was inspired by the life of Jesus. Because he was following in the footsteps of his rabbi. Because he was moved by love for his neighbor. Some really mind-blowing statistics. Around 2 billion people in the world live in poverty. Around 10% of the global population, or 700 million people, live in what they call extreme poverty, which is living on less than $2 a day, which is actually less than what you might spend at a local restaurant to add avocado to your order, if you think about it. Here in America, over 40 million people live in extreme poverty. And most of them are actually children. Nearly 22,000 children die every day due to poverty. And so here, especially in America, we actually see that poverty is tied to issues of racial injustice. In America, the highest poverty rate is among Native Americans, followed by the Black community, followed by the Hispanic community, which is no coincidence considering our nation's tragic history of racism. And yet, despite these crazy statistics, the average family of four in the U.S. spends $1,500 a year on food that they end up throwing out. They actually say that 40% of food in America is thrown out. Think about that. That's almost half of the food that we purchase that we throw out. It's estimated that we produce up to 160 billion pounds of food waste each year. And so this is the picture that I want to paint, that I want us to understand. Millions of people go hungry every single day, while millions more have so much food that they don't even know what to do with it. Now, why do I tell you this? Over the past 3 weeks, we've been exploring fasting as a means of personal formation and transformation, as a way to give our bodies to Jesus, as a way to purge ourselves of self-defeating cycles of sin and shame, and as a way to amplify our prayers and to listen for God's voice. But today, I want to move away from the personal aspect of fasting, and I want to explore fasting as a means of communal transformation. Throughout history, we see that fasting is one of the main practices that followers of Jesus have adopted to move in love toward the hungry and the poor and those on the margins. I want to look at Isaiah 58, and we're going to start with verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists, like major hangry issues. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? The people, they're crying out to God, saying, God, like, we're fasting, we're doing the thing, but why isn't it working? Like, why aren't our prayers being answered? Why doesn't it seem like you're responding? We're like doing all the right things. We're starving ourselves. We're asking for more of the presence of God. And here, the prophet Isaiah comes back to them and says, I want to introduce to you an entirely new posture of fasting that isn't focused only on self. A type of type of fasting that focuses on fighting injustice, on freeing people from oppression, of sharing food with the hungry, providing shelter for the refugees, clothing the naked, meeting the practical needs of people in need. And he says this, if you practice this kind of fasting, we can look at verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. God is saying, this is the kind of fasting that moves my heart. A type of fasting that moves from self towards others in love, specifically the poor and those in need and those who are vulnerable in our society. St. Augustine, he once said, break your bread for those who are hungry, said Isaiah. Do not believe that fasting suffices. Fasting chastises you, but it does not refresh the other. Do you wish your prayer to reach God? Give it two wings, fasting and almsgiving. I love the image, like, just imagine if prayer was this cute little emoji and the wings that fuel the fast the wings that fuel the prayer are fasting and almsgiving so that they can reach God. Now, that word almsgiving can also be translated as works of mercy, or in today's terms, more commonly known as generosity, service, and justice. Now, this is not to say that your prayers won't reach God if you don't fast or if you don't, you know, practice generosity or justice, but there's something special that happens when we combine all of these together that seems to move the heart of God. Throughout Christian history, almsgiving is just as tied to fasting as prayer is. Just like it wouldn't have been very common for a follower of Jesus to practice fasting without prayer, it would have been just as uncommon to see them practice fasting without practicing generosity and justice. Followers of Jesus have been practicing this type of fasting for thousands of years, a type of fasting embodied by generosity, service, and justice, a type of fasting that moves from self towards others in love. There's a shepherd who is known as the Shepherd of Hermas who once said, estimate the cost of the food you would have eaten on that day and give that amount to a widow or orphan or someone in need. Be humble in this way that the one who receives something because of your humility may fill his soul and pray to the Lord for you. Caesarius of Arles, a church father, once said, let us fast in such a way that we lavish our lunches upon the poor so that we may not store up in our purses what we intended to eat, but rather in the stomachs of the poor. I love that, lavishing our lunches upon the poor. What are all of these forefathers of faith saying? They're saying we cannot separate our relationship with God from our relationship with our neighbor. In other words, we cannot claim to love God without loving our neighbor. The two are intimately and intricately connected with one another. And so fasting becomes a way to love God and to love our neighbor at the same time, and specifically those who the world refers to as the least of these. And so today I want to spend the rest of our time talking about what this kind of fasting that Isaiah is talking about, one that is not self-motivated, but one that is outward reaching, what this kind of fasting accomplishes. And there's three things I want to hit on. Number one, fasting helps us stand in solidarity with the hungry. You know, many of us don't live hungry. You know what I realized when we started fasting on Wednesdays is I rarely allow myself to feel hungry for long periods of time. I just don't have that problem. Whenever I'm hungry, I'll snack. We live in a culture of excess. And so fasting can help us stand in solidarity with the hungry. Regularly going without food by choice can put us emotionally in touch with millions of people who regularly go without food, not by choice. And this denial of your stomach, it actually does something to your heart. We begin to feel the compassion of God. We start seeing the poor, not as strangers or objects of pity, but as brothers and sisters. You know, there's enough of the white savior complex going around here in America. This is not that. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a big difference between compulsion and compassion. Compulsion is completely self-focused. I need to do this to make myself feel better, to make myself feel less guilty. But this is not compulsion. Compassion, on the other hand, is completely focused on the other. When we fast, God moves us into a place of empathy and mercy, and not into a place of pity or looking down on someone. It's a genuine posture of compassion. I want to love my brother and my sister. I've heard of stories of families who practice this with their children. And what they would do to fight against the influence of Western materialism in their household is that once a week, they would just eat rice and beans for their meal, eating what most of the people around the world eat every single day. And they do this as an intentional act of spiritual formation, as a way to connect to the heart of God, as a way to stand in solidarity with those who are hungry. Fasting, or even a restricted diet like this, can help us stand in solidarity with those who have much less than us. Someone in our community group, they once shared with us that as they fast, they're reminded of all the people in the world who don't have the luxury of choosing whether or not they want to eat. And they said it caused them to stop thinking about themselves for a moment and start thinking about others, especially those who are in need. And even if just for that moment, they were able to enter emotionally into the experience of those who have not. Fasting is one of the best ways to take the focus off of ourselves and put it on others. Because Lord knows we have so much time dedicated to our lives to focus on ourselves, especially in a city like San Francisco, especially our age demographic. I mean, when you start having kids, you start thinking of yourself a little bit less, but still, we focus on ourselves a lot. And fasting is one of the best ways to discipline ourselves to focus off of ourselves and put it on others, to move from a life that is completely self-absorbed to a life of generosity and love. And so fasting is a powerful tool that helps us stand in solidarity with the poor. But number two, fasting empowers us to share what we have. What we give up in money spent on food can actually be turned into generosity to the poor. And what we give up in time spent on food, shopping, cooking, eating, and cleaning up, and spending hours on DoorDash trying to decide what you're going to eat and get delivered to your house, we can spend that time in service to those who are hungry. Dorothy Day, who writes a lot about this, once said, "How shall we have the means to help our brother who is in need? We can do without those unnecessary things which become habits, cigarettes, liquor, coffee, tea, candy, sodas, soft drinks, and those foods at meals which only titillate the palate. We all have these habits, the youngest and the oldest, and we have to die to ourselves in order to live. We have to put off the old man and put on Christ." I love what she's saying here. There's a long-standing tradition in the Catholic Church of fasting on Fridays and at the same time serving that day in a food pantry or soup kitchen or at a local nonprofit to use the time that they would have spent on eating, shopping, cooking, and spend it serving others. This is one way to not just talk about doing justice and to actually do justice. I mean, let's be real. Honestly, we live in an age of what they call slacktivism. Like much of what we call justice today is just ranting on social media. But in a biblical theology of justice, talk is cheap. The call of Jesus is to act in love, to put our money and our time and our energy and our resources where our mouths are. And listen, for all the things that the church gets wrong today, the church statistically is still by far the most generous toward the poor, toward the vulnerable, in both money and time spent volunteering. This is our mantle. This is our tradition and our history, to be a people of generosity and love. This is why in 1 John 3:16, This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. One way we can combat injustice and love those in need is to fast, to free up our resources, our time, and our energy, and share it with those who need it the most. Now, this could literally be as simple as giving the money that you would have spent on breakfast or lunch and give it to your local food bank or food pantry, or buying someone that you see on the street a meal, or buying groceries for someone in need within your community, or just Venmoing someone to help pay for their meal. I actually looked up, this is a very conservative number, but the average cost of a meal eaten out in San Francisco is $18 conservatively. I actually think it's way more than that, and you probably agree with me, but it says $18, so I'm going to give the conservative estimate. If you were to do this once a week, to give up one 18-meal dollar a week and spend it in service to the poor, by the end of the year, you would have spent $936 of money that would have normally gone to yourself and spend it on those who are more vulnerable than you are. It's simple, but it's powerful. And so fasting enables us to share what we have. But the last thing is this. Fasting enables us to stand against evil and injustice. You know, it was Gandhi that once made famous the hunger strike in his nonviolent resistance to the British Empire. There's Oscar Romero, the Christian intellectual and martyr from El Salvador. We see it in our history. Fasting can be a loving, nonviolent way to protest systemic injustice. Scott McKnight, who writes a lot about fasting, he said, "Food joins humans to other humans because we share meals together. Whenever we give up food intentionally, we refrain from relationships. When a group protests by fasting, they both negate one relationship with the haves, and they affirm another relationship with the have-nots. And since the structures of power always have sufficient food, fasting is not only refusing relationship, but it's also protesting the power structures that exist." That's an interesting perspective, isn't it? When we fast, we stop aligning ourselves with the haves and start aligning ourselves with the have-nots. Fasting is a way for the well-fed to voluntarily align with the hungry, just as Jesus did himself. And we see in our day and age the power and the effectiveness of protest, right? It's a powerful thing. Well, fasting can be a form of protest, a way that we say to evil and injustice in our world, this is not okay, and we will not stand by while it continues. But at a spiritual level, it's not just to stand against the structures and systems of injustice and evil, but according to what Scripture calls principalities and powers behind them that fuel them. It's the demonic energies behind power structures of the world that cause and perpetuate injustice. And to combat this evil, God calls us to prayer and fasting. Listen, that's not to ignore our responsibility to actually show up and confront injustice in tangible ways, but it doesn't have to be an either or. It can be a both and. It's we pray and donate. We intercede and show up to the march. And we have to understand that there is a spiritual reality behind many of the structures and the systems of injustice and evil that we cannot afford to ignore. And many saints throughout history, they saw fasting as a prerequisite to seeing prayer for breakthrough responded to and answered. There's a long-running history in the church of fasting to prepare for spiritual warfare. Now, it's powerful because at this very hour, people around the world are fasting and praying for Gaza and Rafah. And yes, we need to show up and put our money where our mouths are and volunteer and educate ourselves and share the word. But there's also a spiritual reality that we need to confront and address. And fasting is one way that we can do both. And so we see the fast that Isaiah has in mind is one where we stand in solidarity with the hungry, where we share our resources and where we stand against evil and injustice in both the practical and spiritual ways. And so this week, I want us to practice fasting once more. We just have two more Wednesdays, I think. Isn't that crazy? Or is it three more Wednesdays? Two or three more Wednesdays here during Lent where we will be fasting together. And so as we've been doing throughout this Lenten season, every Wednesday we're going to fast together as a community from the moment that you wake until sundown. I don't know about you, but you know, this past Wednesday we did social media, news and entertainment. I thought that would be so much easier compared to food that we did the last 2 weeks. But this week was the hardest. I don't know if it was for you, but it was incredibly difficult, but so rewarding and so enriching. And so we're going to continue doing that. And so each week's fast will have a unique focus and expression. And it's not too late to join if you haven't already. That's going to be every Wednesday. And so this Wednesday, we're going to be fasting, spending money on ourselves. And so whether it's food or coffee or that morning pastry or shopping or Amazon or whatever it is that you shop on, take a day to fast spending money on yourself. And instead, use the money that you would have spent on your breakfast or lunch or coffee or Amazon order and spend it on someone in need. Whether it's giving toward a local nonprofit, y'all know we partner with Mobilize Love. They actually tackle the very problem that we talked about earlier, that children are often the most neglected people group in the city, especially San Francisco. And so we can give towards local organizations like Mobilize Love, who exist to show up with hot meals to kids who aren't regularly fed, or buying a meal for someone that we pass by on the street to work, or Venmoing someone you know, whether it's in our community or someone that you know within your family circle who needs money for some groceries. We need to find creative ways to share what you would have spent on yourself with someone else. And so if you want to take it a step further and do what the Catholics did every Friday, take a day off this week or take a time throughout the day to go volunteer in service to those in need. And so there's two levels. The beginner level is just don't spend money on yourself on Wednesday and spend it towards someone else in need. And the second is take time this week to volunteer someone, not just your money, but your time and your energy and your personhood to give to those in need. Use the time you would have spent on yourself to serve others.